Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
That is a bright light. I can't tell you, can't even begin to tell you what a pleasure and a joy it is to be back at Graymere. Love this congregation. I really think it's one of the very finest in all of our brotherhood. And not the least of the reasons for that is the work that you do in sending the gospel, following the Great Commission, going into all the world with the gospel. And I feel very blessed to have the opportunity to work with you as far as the India work is concerned. I think one of the reasons that it's been successful over the years is that you as a congregation, I mentioned this to Brother Porter a moment ago, have stayed with the work. It's very easy and often happens that a congregation will begin with a work in a mission field and then something else comes along and they'll leave that and go to something else. But for many, many years, over 30 years, this congregation has been very supportive of the work. And it was really a pleasure to travel with Jonathan and Matt of this congregation on this last trip in October. And I wish I could have heard Jonathan's report this morning on some of the other mission work that you're doing. But tonight, for a few moments, I'd like to share with you some of the things that are going on in India as a result of your love for lost souls and the Lord's church. Humans are involved, and so there are always going to be ups and downs. But primarily the work in India that you as a congregation are involved in is good. And it's just a delight to be a part of it. Before I get completely into that, I would like to say just one little sidelight, and that is on Thursday nights, we do have, and I know you're aware of this, the Columbia School of Biblical Study. This past session, there were 11 or 12 different congregations, rural congregations, congregations here in town, where people were attending that. And it's really a wonderful time, not only of study, but of fellowship. And if you have the opportunity, hope you'll come be a part of that on Thursday nights. We'll begin in February and go for 13 weeks. But now the work in India. One of the things that we are faced with in going to India, and by the way, I hope this doesn't come across as just a travel log, looking at just pictures of places we went. My hope is that as we look at these various places that we can realize we're involved, you are involved in the Lord's work here. And so more than just looking at pictures, I hope we can get some feel and background for that. But what we face in India is really an idolatrous nation. I hear the Indian brethren talking about we live in an idolatrous nation. And in a very real sense, I used to sometimes in reading the Old Testament wonder, how in the world could those people worship Baal, make an idol with their own hands and then worship it? And yet this is exactly what's going on in India today. And these are some of the gods that they worship, a monkey god and the elephant-headed god, Shirish, and various others. And yet you'll remember that the Lord said, "Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Well, our brethren in India, as a result of much of your help, are trying to encourage others in India to leave this kind of life. Again, these are some of the various gods that they have made with their hands. They take care of them, they bathe them, they bow down before them. And again, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." And yet, on almost every street corner in some of the large cities, you see literally that going on, bowing down to various idols that they have made and still worship. But we arrived on this particular trip early in the morning in Chennai, which used to be called Madras. It was about 3:30 in the morning when we landed at the airport there. And then make our way to the hotel. It was not a lot of traffic. Usually there's terrific traffic in India, in the cities, big cities. But we made our way to the hotel, got settled in, and then made a short flight to a city of Hubli. The Rummages are here tonight. They're members of the Northview congregation, and they have a big part in this work. Graymere started the work in Hubli, but the Northview brethren are also helping with this to a tremendous degree. We're always welcomed. The brethren there always express thanks to the Graymere congregation and to the Northview congregation for the help that you have given. The man in the picture to the left here, my left, Brother Larry Noakes, he's an elder of the church in right outside of Searcy, Arkansas. Very fine man. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to go with us this time. He had been extremely sick and had lost 60 pounds since the last trip a year ago that we made. But he wanted to come. His wife didn't want him to come. His doctor told him it wasn't advisable, but he wanted to go. And the other is my cousin, Linda Smith, who's in that picture. We had a good group. But this is, in the background, you see the church building. This goes back to the time of Charles Thigpen. They'd had no place to worship at all. They would meet in a house or on top of a building or from place to place. And finally, a building was constructed and little by little improved. And now there's a very solid congregation there. Joel, Carmela, Providas are the family there that work with the church. Really fine, good people. They have two sons. I know how old I'm getting, or that I'm getting older and older, not only when I look in the mirror, but when I look at some of the children like these. I've known them since they were just tiny little boys, and now I look up to them. They're very involved in the work there also. When we arrived, it was at night, and they had the children all lined up in two lines, and as we made our way up to the door of the church building, they had flower petals that they were throwing on us. That reminds me, I remember one time Brother William Woodson was with us, and we had landed at a small airport, and as we got off, they were throwing all of these flowers and things, and Brother Woodson commented, well, that's a nice thing for them to do. Actually, there was a Hindu priest behind us that they were throwing the flowers for, but kind of a custom that they had, and they did make us feel welcome. They are always happy when brethren come. And they have a very good place to worship now, a nice church building. They've added to it little by little over the years, and a good, strong, solid congregation. Always a pleasure to get to preach and teach there. And Brother Larry also spoke on that occasion. I put this picture in there not to show me, but one of the ways they always want to show you their appreciation, they'll put a garland on you. I'm sure Jonathan brought back a great many of these cloths that they wrap around you. It's just their way of saying we appreciate you coming and being a part of this. We had a good group there. This was not a Sunday, just a weekday, but a good group had gathered. My cousin, Linda Smith, and also Jackie Hill were on this trip, and they taught a good many ladies' classes. And I would encourage some of you ladies, if you ever have the desire and the opportunity to go. I know you go to some of the other mission points as well, but it really means a great deal to the women of the church in India when ladies will come, sisters will come, and teach classes for them as well. And so we had several of those. In the background, you see the house that the Northview congregation had a big part in building, and some of you contributed to that as well. I think Jonathan had mentioned one time that this family, two grown boys, man and his wife, were living in one tiny little room, something like 10 by 10, maybe at most, maybe not even that large, for several years. But now they have a very nice house, and the brethren there are happy for them that they have that, and they use it well. They're very hospitable. But they built a baptistry outside, and on this occasion, there was a young man that wanted to be baptized, and that's his family there with him. But not only is Joel involved in the church in Hubli, But several years ago, he went down to another place called Dandala, and it's a very, well, it's just a village. However, when you say a village in India, it may be several thousand people, and that's the way it is in Dandala. But it's about a 50-mile trip down there, and for years, Joel would get on a pretty rickety bus, no air conditioning, hot weather, and would go down there, got to meeting the people, finally established a church there. And there's a solid little congregation there now, and so we made our way as well. And maybe you remember from other reports that we've made in the past, to get there, you go through this wildlife sanctuary, all kind of animals in there, elephants and tigers. You don't really see a lot of that during the daytime. It's at night they come out, but it's an interesting trip down through there as well. And the church does meet in a little rented house here in Dandala. It doesn't look like much, but it's a good place for the brethren in that community to meet, and they're very faithful with it, and Joel goes down constantly. Just to give you an idea of the surrounding countryside, it's kind of a poor area through here. You may be able to see some on top of some of those houses, by the way, some tanks. One, there's an orange one, I think, back in the background there. That's their water tanks, and the sun heats their hot water, or heats their water, but that's their hot water system. But the little girls, again, were very kind to welcome us before the service began. And Nagabushnam, the man in the background here, that man, he puts to shame just most any preacher I know anywhere. He has literally taught and baptized into the thousands of people, and he's a great interpreter. The preacher there, Joel, that I mentioned, he taught Joel. He found Joel a wife. He married them. He built their house. He really is a great help to the work there, and it takes him all night long by train to get to this place, but he always comes and helps us. But when you're in these places, what is so heartening is to see the Bibles. They bring their Bibles and they open them and they follow along with you, and they can turn to the scriptures rapidly. And it's just a pleasure as you're trying to speak to see that. We had a pretty full little house there that night. And some of the little girls were singing some songs afterwards. They've had some drought in India, and even though these look like nice houses for India, in this neighborhood, and this is where the church is in Hubilee, and they live, but still people have to come to these barrels and get water, put it in these jugs, and take it back to their houses. So there's still a good deal of primitive living going on in many of these places. But then we came back that Saturday night, flew back to Chennai, and you've met Peter Solomon, who started this congregation in his home with he and his wife and then his two daughters. He converted his mother and his father, and then they added a little bit onto the house, and people began to worship with him. Now they have a beautiful, fine church building. I think it's the largest in India. And Graymere has supported this work from almost its beginning, and now it's a congregation of over 1,000. Just an amazing thing. Always when we're there, we go to several places, and this is another congregation that was started by Brother Solomon. This is his son-in-law, Victor Emmanuel. For the sake of some of you, especially the elders, it was this man's son that was wanting to come to Heritage University, but he's the preacher there now. But that is at the larger congregation. And then he comes over here to the YMCA building. There's another service after that one. And my touch must not be right. Good. Then that night it was very interesting. One of the things they're doing is going out into villages. They have a television program now that by satellite, you could pick it up here on YouTube or something like that. It goes all over the world now. And so there are a lot of people that see that program, and they ask Brother Solomon and Emmanuel and Jay Bakumar to come. And so we came down this little pathway, and it was almost like being in a canyon. There were buildings all around, but they had set up a screen and chairs there, and Brother Solomon taught a lesson. He used a large screen like this and showed part of the lessons from their television program, and then after that he spoke to them, and I had an opportunity to say a little bit also, but it was a very interesting occasion. But that was all in one day. We did all of that. Then on Monday, we met with Brother David Sagayam, one of the congregations in Franklin. Barry's Chapel supports this man. We work with him also, and he's another amazing man. He's just a tremendous evangelist, and he trains preachers, and we work with him very, very closely. And so on Monday, we met with him, and he took us to several different congregations that we worked with. This is one where VP Raja lives, and the church meets here in this place. And they did not have a baptistry, and the Hills, Jackie and Jim Hill, provided a baptistry for them. And while we were there, there was a baptism. I'm not very good at this, am I? Always they want to provide some kind of meal for you. Sometimes you can eat it. It depends on how much curry's in it. But anyway, they were very hospitable to us. And I thought just we were going to make our way to another place, to a city called Puta, where Brother David Sagayam has a preacher training school. But we had to travel a little bit, and I just thought maybe you'd like to see some of the topography of the land. Some of it's very flat where the rice grows, but then there's some hilly, mountainous areas, some strange rock formations as you drive along, right diversified as you travel from place to place. But this is where we were having the graduation for the preacher training school that Brother David Sagayam has, and Larry and I both had an opportunity to speak to the graduates there, and had a good gathering of people. Family members had come as well. But this is one of the good works that's going on, training preachers, and it's really an in-depth kind of study that they're giving these men. And so when they go out from there, they really are grounded and are able to preach the gospel. Those in the background were some of the men that had been there and their wives with them. But again, you'll notice they have their Bibles with them always. And we gave out certificates to all of the graduates while we were there. And again, had our picture made with them. Next, we traveled to Palamundum. And here, primarily, we had some ladies' classes. Linda Smith and Jackie Hill taught classes here to some of the ladies, which was good. We work with this congregation as well. Actually, I guess it's all right for me to say this. I don't know whether he would want me to say it or not, but Brother Doug Moss contributes some money that supports the preacher here and another place we'll look at in just a moment. But while we were there, there were four young men that wanted to be baptized. And again, they have their outdoor baptistry. That's a pretty common thing there. But these two preachers are, those are the same ones there, but the two preachers there on the left are supported through Graymere. The hill, the road you see there, it doesn't really show as steep as it is. It's a very, very steep climb up there. And last year when we were here, there was a lady who had somehow gotten up that hill and then crawled into the church building. And she was there again this year when we came, and Linda and Jackie kind of took her under their wings and helped her. But I'll never forget seeing that woman crawl into the church building. But she and I don't know how she made it up that hill. But then that night we had still another meeting. We traveled a little distance, and actually Larry was supposed to speak that night, but he's the one that had been so sick, and he really was sick that night and just couldn't do it. So we did have a meeting with the brethren there as well. And then we were really happy the next day on Tuesday when Jonathan and Matt came and we were able to work together from then on out. And this is at a new school, the Bear Valley Bible Institute. They set up schools like this in many places in the world. And this is a brand new one that they have just... Bear Valley Bible Institute. Some of the students that were there, they have a good class already. This is the very first class that they've had, but they'll be well trained, and we had an opportunity to speak to them. I was amazed at some of the lessons that Jonathan taught, going back into the Old Testament and encouraging these people from place to time to time. And likewise, Matt was able to speak to them also on this. So we all had just a great time with those brethren. But then when we left there, we began traveling down the highway, and we started seeing these people, literally hundreds of people walking. And they were walking for miles and miles, maybe 50 miles or more, some of them. And they were all going to the city of Tripati, where there is one of the largest, most meaningful to them, Hindu temples in the world. We have a work in Tripati, that city, but this huge temple is there, and the people will, and I've shown you pictures in the past, but I've never seen them walk like this, but they feel like they've got to go there at least one time during their lifetime. And so we kept traveling, we kept seeing them, and on average, there weren't that many, I don't think, the day we were there, but we did go up there. But on average, 150,000 people a day will visit this place. Maybe you remember from past reports, they'll stay there sometime for days in order to get in to see the idol, their god. And once they get there, they're only allowed to stand in front of it for 1 minute, and then they have to move on. But they may wait days in order to get there. I wanted to include this picture. The girl in the brown checkered dress there is an orphan girl, and Linda and Jackie and some others are helping her go to nursing school. And there's just so many side stories that are fascinating to me. But again, when you go to this huge temple where the Hindus come to worship, it really does. And I know I've mentioned this in the past. But it really reminds you of what it must have been like in Paul's day when he went to the city of Ephesus. And you remember there were the goldsmith there, and they were upset with Paul because by preaching the gospel, he was hurting their business. But they would make these little statues and shrines of Athena, god of the Ephesians. And when you go to this place, you pass by numerous shops like this, where they're selling the little shrines of their gods, and the people buy them and take them home. And I can imagine if Paul went here and began to preach against it, you know, they wanted to stone Paul to death in Ephesus. And they gave us some pretty hard looks just walking around there. But it really made me think about the temple at Ephesus and the silversmith and the shrines that they were selling. There are many places where they do various kinds of worship. This was one where they were offering, of all things, coconuts. They have a place where you can buy the coconut, and then you take it here and break it open and pour it out in sacrifice to this god. That is the picture of the god there on the my right, as I'm looking at that picture. I can't make heads or tails out of it, but that's what they'll spend days in order to go stand in front of for a minute and walk all those miles. And the temple is up on top of a very high hill, almost a mountain, and they walk up that barefooted to get to it. So there's a lot of work to be done. That evening, we visited a group of children whose parents are all lepers. And Jackie Hill and Jim, her husband, and a few other individuals are supporting this work. They provide after-school study for the children of these lepers, and also they provide meals for them. And it's really a good work. And the family, the man here on the right, the large man, and his family are the ones who oversee this work. And they teach the children Bible lessons as well. You can see how they eat their food they just sit on the ground and eat their food out of these plates. And you might want to look at the menu there. Primarily it's rice of one kind or another, and eggs, potatoes, and so forth, but a lot of rice. But that's such a good work, helping those children. After that, we went to another village the next day. Elijah Subaka is here. This is where he grew up on this land, and he gave some land to build a little church building on. Linda Smith and Healing Hands provided this well for them and all the village that's there. This is way out in the boonies. But they themselves have started this church building. They didn't have anywhere to worship. And so little by little, I could tell they'd added a few more bricks this time than the last time we were there. Eventually, hopefully, they'll get it completed, have a place to worship. They were meeting in a house, an abandoned church building. But the people, the denomination who owned that building, even though they weren't using it, were not going to use it, they locked it up so our brethren could not use it. So they're trying to get a building that they can meet in. It was during the day, so there were not a lot of the men there on this particular occasion, but a lot of the women had come, and again, we all had an opportunity to speak to them on that occasion. After that, we went to Vidi Nagar. There's a preacher there that's been a great help to us over the years, Vijay Kumar. I can remember when there was nothing here, and little by little, he has built a good, strong congregation here now. Very, very active, constantly involved in spreading the gospel. And so we had a meeting there as well. But this is a work also that Graymere is involved in greatly. Jonathan had another good lesson here. Afterwards, had an opportunity to meet with three preachers that we're supporting in their work. These are village preachers, and just to have time to sit down with them and discuss their work and what their needs might be and what they're doing and accomplishing. So it's always a good thing, a pleasure to get to meet with the preachers that we work with and discuss their work. These are the three men, and likewise, these come, the support part of it's coming through an individual here. These were some of the ladies of the congregation. They wanted to meet with our ladies. They always appreciate them coming. And again, just to give you some idea of what it's like to travel through some of these smaller towns. And when I say smaller, you're talking about thousands of people again. But we were on our way to Kota. There's a preacher here that we've worked with for many years, and he's doing a good job. His name is N. James. But they meet in this dilapidated house. Sometimes we meet up on top of it. And I think if I had known how swayback it was, I wouldn't have gotten on the roof. But anyway, that's where they've been meeting. And thankfully, that's N. James, the tall fella in the back. But Larry Noakes, the elder from Arkansas, has raised enough money to buy land and build them some kind of building that they can worship in. Sometimes what they'll do is just build a slab of concrete and a roof with some poles, and then let the brethren themselves, as they can, put in the walls. So they call it a wall-less building. But nevertheless, he's going to help them get a place that'll be a little safer and better place to worship. And you know, sometimes you say, well, why are we involved in buildings? There are a number of reasons. First of all, it gives some stability. the people in the community look at them, and you know, if they're just wandering from place to place and driven from one house to another or a place like this, they never are thought of very highly by the people that live in the community. But if they can have a place that's solid and theirs, it adds a lot of prestige, is not the right word, but credibility to the work that's going on. The next place we visited and worship had a meeting was at Gudar. Shirish is the preacher here. His father had been the preacher, and he died, and his son has taken it over. And then this is Dr. Persant, who's interpreting for me on this occasion. He's an amazing young man. He is a doctor, but he'll take off from his practice and go with us maybe for a week or more and interpret and lead singing and teach and just help us in every way that he can, transport us at times. He's another one that wants to come and get more training. In fact, he wants to give up his practice, his medical practice, and just preach the gospel. And I hope he can do that at some point, if that's what he wants to do. But Jonathan was preaching here on this occasion also. And if you look closely, you'll see that he was really relaxed. He's got his shoes off. He's preaching barefooted. But that's really very common in India. Most of the preachers do preach barefooted. When you've seen pictures, I'm sure, in the past. When you go into their church buildings, outside the door, they're just all kinds of shoes and sandals. They all take their shoes off before they go in. Not as a religious thing, but the streets are just dirty, and so they take their shoes before they go. And Jonathan was right there with him. He said, you ought to try it more often, John. You did a great job. We'd started out at Tripati, down there where the B is on that map, and that's where the temple was. And then we went up to Gudar there, and then we're going up to Nellore now, another work that we're involved with. Mohan and his family are supported by Graymere and by a little congregation called Belinda Parkway. This is Mohan and his wife and daughter and son. He's a very humble man, very quiet. But he has built a congregation there, and just a wonderful family that he has as well. And he's very concerned about the poor. He had taken us out into this very poor village, but these people had nothing, but they wanted to fix us a meal. And that's what they were doing as we came up. But he works with people like this a lot. And his wife, you've heard us talk about, and some of you have helped buy sewing machines. She's an excellent seamstress, and she has a place here where she teaches, no charge, but ladies that want to come and learn how to sew or crochet or various other things, and she teaches, and then she teaches a Bible class after that. And I think at some 18, the last I heard, that she had converted in that way. But the church is meeting in this building. It has no insulation. It's really causing some trouble there, I'm sad to say. But she has the sewing center set up there, but they have to move all of that out for the church to meet then on times for the church to meet. And then they have to move all that out and put it back. And now it's leaking, and the man who owns it will not fix it, and the rain is coming in, and it's rusting out the sewing machines, and it's really a sad situation, and they surely need somewhere to meet. But you talk about hot. It was 99 degrees in there that Sunday or that day while we were preaching. I don't know how they stand it, and it's right by the road, a lot of traffic right outside there. I hope we can help them get some kind of place to meet. But that's part of her sewing center where she teaches them. And again, so grateful to some of you who purchase some of those machines. It's a good ministry that she's involved in. His family, including his mother and father, in that particular picture. Anusha, the girl behind the little boy standing next to Mohan, is the girl, the teenage girl, that was kidnapped. She was riding one of those three-wheelers to school every day, to college, and the driver kidnapped her one day, and it was several weeks. They didn't have any idea where she was. And they finally had to pay the police, bribe the police, to find her and bring her back. And even after that, they got threatening phone calls that they were going to harm them, kill them. It was really bad. But that was a few years ago, and she's doing well now. But they've had their share of difficulties. But Santh, his wife here in the green, she went on the internet and learned how to cook Southern fried chicken. And you talk about a treat after all that curry, but it was good. She fixed for us. But they are very tender-hearted people. They want to help others. Mohan teaches various classes. He preaches there, labors with the church. And they're constantly trying to help the poor people with Bibles and food and clothing as they have needs. And this is, I'm sure I've showed it to you before, but this is a picture of what's called the Circus Village. And the poorest of the poor, you cannot imagine what they live in. It's not even a tent. It's just bare minimum, any kind of shelter. But they are a circus of sorts, not like we think of the Big Top. But they'll go into various places in town and put on some acrobatic things and pass the hat, and that's about all they live off of. But it's always good to go out there, and we have Bible classes and teach, and they're very receptive. And usually they'll have saris to give to these poor ladies and Bibles, sometimes food. Sacks of grain that they give to them. Here's Matt giving out some, I think that was a sari to one of the poor ladies there. It's a good benevolent work. But this little girl, while I happened to be speaking, I kept watching her because she was so intent, and she had her Bible, and she was following along, and it really did impress me. But after the service, the circus people were going to kind of show us what they did. And the first thing I knew, that girl was climbing a pole there, and it's amazing what they do. She's climbing up the ladder there, and I guess this is her father who's balancing a bicycle in his teeth. And then you see these children. Those are just bamboo poles, and the children will climb up on the top and just, it's frightening. But that's the kind of thing they do. But they're very, very poor. They don't really have much sustenance. But it's always always glad to get an opportunity to work some with Mohan, and we try to encourage him along in his work. But I mentioned at the very outset that it's a very idolatrous country, and I never had seen this before. But as you know, in our country, sometime when you're traveling along, you'll see bird feeders that you can go buy and concrete things. Well, here you can buy your idol. If you want to put an idol in your yard, here's the place you can come get it, just right on the side of the road. You can get them in different colors, even. One thing that's interesting in India is as you go from one state to another, as we would go from Tennessee to Kentucky, there are always toll gates, and you have to stop and pay and register to go from one state to another. And they've got some good highways now that is rather new. But then we went on to a city called Sulipet. Danajaya is the preacher there that we work with, and Graymere has really helped with the orphan children there and others. Again, Jonathan was speaking here with Danajaya. They have a nice new building that a lot of contributions went into. We had a meeting with them, and there were baptisms after that as well. But the people are so friendly. We were getting in our van to leave, And all of these people just came out waving to us and smiling, and they just really make you feel like they appreciate you coming and teaching and helping them. Then many of you know Jaba Kumar. He's been here twice, and Jaba has a fine family, and Graymere has recently helped him build a really fine church building. I think Jonathan talked to you about this building this morning, but he had a house. He sold his house in order to buy the property, and he hopes someday to have his house on top of this. I'm sure Jonathan mentioned this, but the bottom floor is a garage where they can park, and then they meet for worship on the second floor, and then eventually have a place to live on the next floor when they get that. But that's a good work you as a congregation have done to give them a place to worship. And Jonathan spoke on that occasion. He had done so much to help them get this facility, and he preached there that morning. They have a good congregation started now. This is just up on the roof where they hope someday to have their house. After that, we went to another YMCA building that Sunday and had a service there. This congregation has been here for a good long while, and the people just come in and sit on mats on the floor. After that, on Monday, the National Bible College had its graduation. Graymere underwrites this work. It trains preachers. There are preachers that went through this school, and some of them with a master's degree, that are in several countries now, Nepal and Burma and various other places. And it's been a wonderful thing. They've turned out hundreds of preachers throughout India. And this was part of the graduating class and some of the faculty on this particular day. This was the 27th year of this work. And we all had an opportunity to speak to the graduates and those who were gathered, Jonathan and Larry Noakes and Solomon, and I did. And Solomon gave each of us a piece of paper, and on it he said, "Now make your talk short." And we did. And then when he spoke longer than all three of us put together. But what he had to say was worthwhile and good. He's really done a great work there. Then we gave them out their diplomas, and Jonathan placed a medallion around their neck, and then Larry gave each one of them a communion set. And those are made by Emmanuel, who's standing there. He and his wife, he's married to Peter Solomon's daughter. They produce those trays, communion trays, and you notice a stick there across his arm. That's has a little bag on the end of it, and that's the way they take their contribution. They just walk through the crowd, most of them sitting on the floor, and hold out that little sack, and they put their contribution in. But as these young preachers go out, now they have a communion tray to begin with as they start a congregation. And then I mentioned their television program. This is the first Bible study on television that goes satellite in India. Peter Solomon is such a visionary, and he doesn't just envision, he carries it out. And now you can pick up this program. It's on every day, 30-minute program every day, and in different languages as well, Tamil and other places. And this is in their little studio there where they broadcast all of it. Solomon was here, and Ricky looked at our little studio out here and went back home and tried to fix one for them, and he did. And what was surprising, you remember you were sending over some of our old television programs, and on the screen back there was, if you look, it's one of Graymere's old television programs that they've been using some of those too in this broadcast. And I thought it was right funny that the first tapes you sent over, when I was happened to be doing that, I was gray-headed. But as if they're continuing and the tapes keep coming, I'm going to get younger and younger. And it's going to be working backwards, because we started when I was old man and going back to the other way. But anyway, they just have a tremendous outreach program with that television. So basically what we did on this particular trip, we visited and had meetings with 15 different churches enumerated there, two preacher training schools, two graduations, likewise ladies' meetings in various places, including Jubilee and Ariconum. So a lot was done. But finally, after fulfilling our time there and our evangelistic journey, it was time to come home. And as much as I enjoyed and really loved going, and I'm so grateful to the elders here and to you, brethren, for letting me be involved in this work and going to India, but when it's time to come home, you're ready to come. So we left Chennai early in the morning and really kind of wondering, would we ever again see these brethren? You never know what's going to happen. And I'm obviously getting older and older, and you just wonder, will you ever be able to come back to these people that honestly you love and respect for what they're doing for the Lord? The trip has been made somewhat easier than it used to be, now that there's a flight from Nashville directly into London and then London directly into Chennai. We used to have to go from Nashville to Atlanta, New York, or somewhere, from there to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Mumbai, from Mumbai to Chennai. And you'd spend hours and hours in the airport. Now we can just get on a plane in Nashville and go straight into London, London into Chennai. So it does help. But I hope in looking at this that you get a little feel of what you're doing there. And we're trying to follow what the Lord taught us to do, commanded us to do, to go into all the world. And I think it's wonderful that Graymere is not only involved in India, but Peru and so many other places. I don't know of a congregation anywhere that's doing more diverse mission work, evangelistic work, trying to carry out the Great Commission than this congregation. And brethren, you are truly to be commended for that. But that's, again, why we go to India, of course, to carry out that commission that our Lord gave to us. And I think of Graymere often. It is a generous congregation, and it is a congregation that's carrying out the Great Commission. And I pray that you'll continue to do that. And again, I want to reiterate, I think one of the reasons for success in India and other places is you have stayed with the work and helped it develop and grow. And I hope that can continue to be the case. But you're a good congregation and doing a great work in sending the gospel. I often say what we go over there and preach is exactly what we preach here. That's all we can, all we know. When the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he didn't say, go preach your opinions or your doctrines of men, just preach the gospel. And you really see that the power is in the word. It's not in the messenger. The power is in the word. And whether you preach it in Peru or India or in Columbia, Tennessee, it's going to have the same results. And so we just need to be sure that we study the word and know it and share it with others. And the invitation that's extended each time we meet in India is what is extended here by Andrew Sunday after Sunday. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be willing to confess him. Turn from sin. Not easy. Repentance is hard. But repent. And to be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here tonight that has not yet done that. You intend to do it. Why not tonight? It would be a great time. The greatest night of your life. If you need to come back to him, if you want to respond in any way, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.